Hello, everyone. Welcome to the Rebel Room, post-game edition, day two of the Mountain West Conference tournament. And Ray, well, I'm Ryan Green, and I'm here with Ray Brewer. Ray, a night to remember for the Mountain West Conference as a whole. The top four seeds in the Mountain West tournament, four teams that are NCAA tournament bound now, it looks like, playing in two semifinals, which, you know, both came down to the final minute. Incredible games, two advanced. Nobody really loses because the league as a whole wins on this one. But as it is, tomorrow you're going to have UNLV and San Diego State at 4 o'clock for the Mountain West tournament title. And UNLV is who we're going to be talking about first because, well, that's who we cover. UNLV advances with a 70-66 victory over BYU, their eighth in a row over the Cougars in the Thomas and Mack Center. And Ray, just a night that we're not going to forget for a while.
Yeah, great night of basketball. Both games, as you said, came down to the final minute. But what about UNLV and the great start they had? Shot 61% in the first half. They were 8 of 11 on 3. And the first 10 minutes of that game against BYU, it was like, I'm going to shoot a 3 from here, and then BYU's going to run down and shoot the exact same spot. Back and forth, back and forth. It was like a game of horse. It was awesome.
9 threes in the first 6 minutes.
And what it is, and you kind of touched on it earlier, it is a showcase of the talent in this league and how I think it's the premier league on the West Coast this year.
Absolutely.
And they've got great players, Hobson, Jimmer, possibly going to the NBA.
Kawhi Leonard's an NBA player down the road. A lot of guys who are going to make money playing pro ball for a long time. You know, we talk about the Malcolm Thomases, the Trevon Willises, the Chase Stambacks of the world, the Jonathan Tavernaries. This is a good league.
And what we've seen, especially tonight, is that it's got some great stars, some great players, some great performances. How about the crowd? First sellout in 11 years of the tournament. 18,500 start to finish. They were energetic. They were loud. It was a great atmosphere. I know that, and I told you this yesterday, you're from Big 12 country. You've been in some of these big environments. And sometimes this tournament only gets 11,000 fans, 12,000 fans, something we might see tomorrow for the championship game against San Diego State. But just the energy and electricity and the players didn't disappoint. Great performances, came down to the wire, both games, very cool.
Yeah, and like we said, UNLV 70-66 over BYU, and we started talking about this one with the start, but let's go into it a little more, because after that that just blitzkrieg start on both sides, it cooled off a little bit. UNLV grabbed the upper hand early in the first half, led by as many as 11 in the second half, and this one really, really got good with about 3-4 minutes left. BYU goes on a run. Jimmer Fredette, who scored a game-high 30. You know, let's talk about him because, you know, for the better part of this night, you really got to give UNLV credit. Something about going against this guy, and Trevon Willis talked about it a little bit, something about going against this guy just brings the best out in UNLV defensively, because this guy just, 30 points in this game, but, I mean, not a pretty 30. 7 of 20 from the floor. He had to score 12 from the free throw line. Just not pretty.
If you were sitting there watching the game, no stat monitor, no pen or paper to keep track, and I say, how many points did he score? I would say 20.
Yeah.
But 20, you know, hit some foul shots, came on late. 30, way too high. And it goes to show that, sure, he got his, but only one other score for BYU in double figures. And it was just a great defensive effort. UNLV's beaten BYU, Ryan, 8 straight times at the Thomas and Mack Center. And I think it's a combination of a few things. One, they're always hyped up to play BYU because it's the big rival. And I think that energy parlayed to the energy of the fans is just amazing. Rock and roll, here we go. But I think another thing is that BYU, UNLV, similar styles. Rely on the guard, rely on the outside shot, rely on kind of getting out in the break, rely on some pressure defense. And I think UNLV's guards, you know, obviously led by Trevon, have outplayed BYU of late. And it may be a testament to Trevon and what a great player he is. Remember, you know, he was at Memphis. He has NCAA tournament experience. And it's just really all coming together. UNLV now on a 6-game winning streak. And ever since they lost those 3 straight games, and the world ended, remember? After that third loss
at Utah, yeah.
The world was over. Well, guess what? The world has now been saved, six straight wins, and they've looked so good. Credit to Kruger, you know, for tightening the screws, for getting the ship going in the right direction, because they've been fun to watch offensively, defensively, ton of energy. You look over at that bench, and every player's into the game. They're really a team. They're rallying together. It was a fun game to watch, man. I'm having a great time.
Yeah, and, you know, Fredette, it's funny because a night ago, 45 points against TCU, and it seemed like any time someone came within the 5-foot hover zone around him, the whistle was blown. Tonight, it wasn't. And, you know, add that on top of the fact that UNLV was defending him so well, he was getting pretty frustrated. He was clearly jawing with the refs. He was not happy. He thought he should have been getting some more of those Jimmer Fredette calls. And, you know, he wasn't too happy after the game. UNLV just, they are able to rattle his cage.
Yeah,
they just are.
They definitely lock and load on the guy. And we kind of knew going in that there was a little bit of an uproar last night because he had the 45 points, at, you know, but a lot of heavy on the foul shots.
23 of 24 from the free throw line.
And you knew that the uproar, you knew the officials saw that and they were going to, you know, probably turn their head a little bit, and which they obviously ended up doing. And it's just the politics and sports and back and forth. And BYU is such a, you know, when you think of Mountain West Conference, BYU is kind of the premier institution. They're the, without BYU, the league's not as good.
Yeah.
I mean, as much as people hate to say that, even me, maybe myself, BYU football elite team, they've won a national title. They're great in all the other sports. They're you know, right there. They're the place to be. They've got their own TV network. I mean, without BYU, and you just see the politics. And one of the other reporters made a good comment to me today about even, like, the Mountain West officials who were at the tournament, the polo shirt and jacket is blue.
Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, the tournament's here, but it's still like a BYU blue conference.
Yeah, and you add in the fact that they're kind of the darlings, and Jimmer Fredette, a guy who's probably gotten every call in most games he's played since he was about 12 years old. They kind of took him out of it, and they took everybody else out of it too. Jonathan Tavernary, most notably, 1 of 5 from the floor, 4 points.
Airball late in the game.
Airball late in the game, 17 minutes, no rebounds. He was ineffective.
Could I interrupt you?
Yeah.
Does Tavernary, and I cover Tavernary when he's at Gorman, does he not look like an old man when he walks? Mm-hmm. I don't know. Is that, maybe he's got a bad back. Maybe his legs are out of whack, but he really looks like he's a 22-year-old student athlete in a 40-year-old body. He looks like he should be playing with you guys at the rec center. Like, suit up, headband, maybe a knee brace.
Some rec specs.
Some rec specs, but, I mean, he looks like he's been – it's been a long 4 years for that guy.
Yeah, and the 4 years ends with having never won a game against UNLV at the Thomas and Mack Center. So a tough stretch for him, but – you know, let's flip to the UNLV side. We mentioned Trevon Willis scoring 6 of their 7 points in the final minutes, played 36 minutes, you know, hurt his ankle late and still came through with a huge layup against Jackson Emory to make it a 3-point game with a minute to go. Chase Stanback tied it at 61 late. He had 17 points, 6 rebounds. Bryce Samba, you know, UNLV all year has been clamoring, wanting a big physical presence inside. You know, 13 points, 6 rebounds, all on the defensive glass. But, you know, inside of those 13 points, I mean, 5 of 6 shooting, and he was, I mean, these were not gimme buckets set up by guards. These were moves that he was making on his own against, you know, taking the BYU big men off the dribble.
This is the Bryce Masamba everybody's waited to see. And I know when he played at Finley Prep, he had similar success just because Finley was that much better than everybody else and he got open looks. But this Bryce Masamba that we saw tonight, the aggressive Bryce Masamba, the energetic Bryce Masamba, the I'm not going to back down from anybody, reminds me of the Bryce that I saw at Finley Prep. Mm-hmm. I mean, like where's Bryce? What happened to number 15? There he is. Wow.
Yeah.
Amazing. Great game.
Yeah. And it all adds up to UNLV San Diego State tomorrow. San Diego State 72-69 victory over number 8 New Mexico, who, you know, really didn't need the win. I don't know how much they were going to improve their seeding. The loss maybe dropped them from what, a 3 to a 4. you know, UNLV now, really, them and San Diego State have both solidified themselves probably as in the NCAA tournament. Now they're just playing for seeding and they're playing for pride. Split the regular season series. The most recent game, a 68-58 Aztecs victory in San Diego, where UNLV was, as some of the players have said, out-physicaled. And you saw what the physical presence for the Aztecs can do tonight. They knocked New Mexico around, hit some shots early to create that lead, and then just beat them up the rest of the way. Billy White, most notably, a game-high, career-high 28 points for the Aztecs.
11 of 14 shooting.
Yeah, and, I mean, let's just be real. This is the toughest matchup in the league for the Rebels.
When you
factor in White, Kawhi Leonard, and Malcolm Thomas.
And we'd always talked a few times about San Diego State. Their guard play has been down a little bit this year. DJ Gay looked real good tonight.
Mm-hmm.
He made big shots, played great defense, organized the offense, and he was a big player. And you're right. San Diego State's got this athleticism and this they're not afraid. They are going to play with everybody on any given day. I do think that they're very content with the win against New Mexico, and that's kind of their title. I think UNLV is going to blow them out.
Just like they kind of were last year with the win over BYU in the semis.
But they hung with Utah.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, only lost by 2 points in that championship game.
Not nearly as close as it looked. They made that run late. But, yeah, I know what you mean. They were never out of it.
I just think that UNLV, folks, I'm telling you, I've given you some bad advice this year probably on some handicapping picks. But if you got some spare change hanging around on the couch cushion, if you've got if the wife could give you a 5 spot, go out and put it on the Rebs tomorrow. I think they're winning big.
I do too, and I'll tell you why. Another team with a very short rotation. You know, UNLV is going to have some healthy guys tomorrow. And DJ Gay, you mentioned him. He's really their only option as far as a consistent ball handler. Chase Tapley, you know, their other option, playing with a broken bone in his left hand. And DJ Gay has played 40 minutes today.
Yeah,
and played, I believe he played 40 minutes yesterday, too.
And both teams are probably gassed. I mean, emotional victories, we talked about it earlier. Emotional games. I mean, this might be one of those games at halftime where we might have to go get the Starbucks and bring it into the locker room, or one of those five-hour energy packs and rock and roll.
Well, we've both given our predictions, but you know, let's just talk big picture again really quick. I think we both got to agree. Four teams from this league are getting in, and that's going to – you mentioned the premier conference on the West Coast. Pac-10, probably only getting two.
Yeah.
Cal and Washington.
But as we talked about in the newsroom earlier today, four teams are going to make the tournament. But what the league needs is at least one of those teams to be playing on the second weekend of the tournament. A team has to make the Sweet 16, whether it be New Mexico, and I mean, their 29-4 record, or BYU, which – hasn't had success in the tournament. They get there, they have a great time. I think a lot of that is because it's impossible to win at the Marriott Center. Maybe BYU breaks through. Maybe it's UNLV again. Who knows? But I think the league, to kind of hammer down, yes, we've arrived, yes, this is a good league, get a team through.
Especially because all four of these top teams are going to be very, very strong again next year. And, you know, in San Diego State, you know, our former colleague Rob Misha, a San Diego State alum, he likes to always say 0-6 all time in the NCAA tournament. So someone needs to do it, and a lot of it's going to depend on where they go. And you got to think they're going to have a good chance if UNLV can get through tomorrow. They're probably looking at a 6 seed in the NCAA tournament if they win tomorrow. Maybe a 7. They won't be in the 8-9 game, and things lay out well, no matter what. But any final comments? Because it was a fun night.
It
was hot in there.
Great night of basketball.
It's really hot in the arena. It's never hot in there.
Well, see, I always feel like hot and my face gets red. I don't know what it is, but I'm always like, I'm a bigger man than you are. So, folks, Ryan Green is like, 6 foot, 170.
That's generous.
2% body fat.
No.
I'm like 6'1", 230, you know, snuggle with me under a blanket in the winter type of fat. And so I sweat a little more than Ryan. So, yeah, it was hot in the gym for him, but it's always
hot. So it must have been like an inferno for you.
I'm always hot.
Is that shirt dry?
This is my shirt. I got this at Dillard's on sale.
Just making sure it's dry. Well, we'll be coming to you again tomorrow following the championship game, and again Sunday after the selection show. For Ray Brewer, this is Ryan Green. Thanks for tuning into the Rebel Room Postgame Edition. Have a good night.